We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, family, friends, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit the reset button. That's when you reach for an ice-cold Coors Light, the beer that's made to chill. Listen, there's a lot going on in Green Bay right now, and I feel like we could all use a moment to chill with a Coors Light. See, Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is what I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in their all-new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, and as always, celebrate.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack a Day podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack a Day podcast. It's another weekend. It's your Saturday crew. We're all together. It is Jason Perrone, myself, of the Pack a Day podcast and Game on Wisconsin and the Quick Slants podcast, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report and Paul Bredel of Dairyland Express, Cheesehead TV, and Packers Unrestricted. Mark, as always, we start out on the East Coast and on the beach.
Yeah, and it's a little rainy here this weekend. Which, you know, I hate to sound like the guy that says, "Well, we need the rain," but it's been a long time since we had rain. Remember last week I said it was supposed to rain, but it didn't. It's raining now. We've actually gotten some rain, so we met again. So a couple days inside. That's all right. I'm getting too dark anyway. Everyone tells me I got to get out of the sun a little bit.
All right. So Mark's got to fast track his tan, and over in the Dairyland State of Wisconsin, Paul, the last couple of weather reports have been very positive from you. We're into June at this point, so they should be. You're probably enjoying maybe nicer weather than all three of us. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this weekend it is going to be low to mid 90s, and I'll be honest, I'm not sure if I'm ready for it, but I got to be, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Is that unusual?
I think they said that we could hit a record high on like Saturday, because I think it's supposed to be around 95, so a little bit. But honestly, once you get to the summer months here, those high 80s, 90s, just humid as heck days, they can pop up at any point.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the humidity. I remember when I lived, we were talking before we started recording about our past lives and where we all grew up, and I spent some time outside of Milwaukee, and I remember every summer there was one or two weeks where it would get into the near the triple digits, but obviously the X factor there compared to where I live right now, which is Phoenix, is the humidity versus the dry heat. So that humidity, it was like a stinging, just heavy heat. You just felt like you were wearing it when you walked outside.
And like I said before, last week's weather report on, I think, Monday or Tuesday of last week, I actually had the heat on because the low was in the 30s. So that's what we get.
Yeah.
That's great.
You're on that dual mode. Your thermostat's on that dual mode. Not anymore, though, hopefully. It should be. Once school is out, like, that's all bets are off. It's summertime. We can't go back into the cold months anymore. It's got to be warm. So, well, we're going to kind of take a break. I mean, this past week there was some mini camp and not a whole lot of news really came out as far as the Packers go, and the rest of our crews throughout the week have covered a lot of that live action. So our team's going to take a little bit of a break from more current Packers news, and we want to kind of talk through the history of each of our Packers fandom, how it started, what's, you know, how it got to be what it is, what the ins and outs of it are. And you've got two, you know, I'll jokingly say you've got two older guys, and myself and Mark, who have been fans of the Green Bay Packers.
We got one old guy. We got one. We got one kid. We got a. You're in the middle, and I'm old. Let's go there. You're not old, Jason.
We got all the bases covered.
As we say what years we became, we'll see how old everybody is.
Yeah, we're gonna tell on ourselves a little bit. Yeah, for sure. Well, then obviously, then we have to. I mean, we have to start with you, Mark Eckel, because you've been a Packers fan longest, and I would imagine that your story is pretty extensive. And we've talked a little bit about it in the past, but I'm excited to hear more it in more detail. So I'll just leave it open. Tell us your story of where you got to be a Packers fan.
Well, here's the story. So I grew up in New Jersey, right? So I'm in the middle, right in the middle of New Jersey. So I'm not far from Philly, so I could have easily been an Eagles fan. I'm not too far from New York, so I could have been like my father and my brothers, who were Giants fans. My brother, my older brother Michael, is still a season ticket holder to the Giants. But I became a Packer fan, and now you say, why? How? Well, my uncle, who was also my godfather, and more of a football fan than my father. My father was more of a baseball person than a football person. I mean, he liked football and he liked the Giants, but baseball was his thing. My uncle was more the football fan. He was a baseball fan as well, but more football. Well, being from New Jersey, and now we're talking, I'm old, like I said, so we're talking in the 60s, right? So was somebody from the Packers also from New Jersey? Guy named Lombardi, maybe?
Yeah, it could be.
Well, heard of him.
Yeah, that guy.
Well, my uncle was actually friends with Vince Lombardi. So they used to hang. I'm from St. Cecilia's, where Vince was from and coached and went to school and everything. So my uncle would always talk about, you know, Coach Lombardi this, Mr. Lombardi that, and Vince, and, you know. And so that was in my head all the time. Like, you know, my uncle knows this guy, right? So as a little kid, I was, you know, Vince Lombardi. I was like the only name I knew in football was Vince Lombardi, right? Well, the first game I ever watched from start to finish, like sat with my uncle and my father and my brothers, I don't know if they were there or not. Something tells me that it was just the three of us. My brothers are both a lot older than me, so they might have been, you know, out with their friends watching the game somewhere else. But the first game I ever watched start to finish was the Ice Bowl.
Wow. What a story. That's awesome. Right.
So, again, like I remember Super Bowl I a little bit. I remember, you know, the Packers won it, and everybody, like my uncle, I remember, again, my uncle saying, yeah, they're going to kill this AFL team. They're not even on the same, you know, same class as them, you know. And they did, and he was right. And but now we're watching the Ice Bowl, Cowboys, and, you know, I didn't realize what I was watching, obviously. I'm a little kid, but, you know, I didn't realize, like, I mean, it was kind of cool seeing that how cold it was and all this and that. And, you know, Bart Starr, and just his name, like, oh, Bart Starr. Hey, what a great name, right? So he became my favorite player immediately. And they win the game, obviously, on Starr's sneak. And I often wonder, because when you're a little kid, you're impressionable, right? So I often wonder if, even though my uncle had Vince Lombardi in my head, I often wonder if Starr doesn't score on that quarterback sneak and the Cowboys win, but I become a Cowboy fan. I mean, it's hard to say, because the first game, you know, the team that won, yay, the Packers won, so I'm a Packer fan, right?
Right.
But I often wonder what would happen, but thank God it didn't. Star scores, and, you know, so I just became, from the Ice Bowl on, now, I went through some lean years, guys. You know, I went through those Phil Bengston and, you know, Dan Devine, and all, Forrest Gregg.
Oh, Dan Devine.
You know, he had one good year, but yeah, it was hard being a Packer fan, like when I was in high school and stuff. And, you know, people laughed at me. You know? Although, thank God, the Eagles and Giants were pretty bad then too. So it wasn't like my friends who were Eagles, they couldn't rub it in too bad because their teams were just as bad, if not worse. So that kind of helped a little bit. But that's how it all happened. And then I start, I got into the business. I start covering the Eagles. I never forget my talking about memories or whatever. My first trip to Lambeau Field was to work. I've never gone there without having to work. But I remember like this, I hate to say it, but I actually got a little chills the first time I walked into Lambeau and actually walked on. I walked onto the field and I was like, oh, that's where this happened. That's where stars. There's the end zone. There's the 1 yard line. And the whole thing. And luckily, it wasn't ice bowl type weather then. Pretty sure it was like early in the year, so it was kind of 65-ish or so.
But, now you say I caught what you said where you said like, hey, I got chills, but the former writer in you kind of admitted that as a media member you don't really want to admit that you have those feelings, right? When you're when you're trying to cover a game.
Well, no, something like that I don't mind. I'll admit, if you don't get some kind of emotion. Now again, when the game, like I had to cover the 4th and 26 game, which wasn't easy to write, it's funny, I got a lot of compliments from friends of mine who know I'm a Packer fan, that they said, I know that game had to be hard for you to write, but you wrote it. You really did a good job, and you wrote a very fair, professional. So I'm like, because again, when you're writing, I'm a Packer fan, but I couldn't let my fandom get in the way of the fact that the Eagles won that game. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say that's a very high compliment to receive.
Yeah, like my friends, and they all knew how upset. Did I ever tell you this story? After that game, Andy Reid knew I was a Packer fan. only because he and I talked about when we got along, we talked about Green Bay because he's a Packer fan, to be honest with you. He loves Green Bay, but he actually said to another writer after that game, he pulled over and said, "Hey, how's Echol doing? How's he handling this?" He swear to God.
I'm sure he had a big old grin when he was saying that too.
Probably. But he knew, but again, it would have been a much easier and nicer story to write if there was no 4th and 12, as I call it, 4th and 1. I don't call it the 4th and 26 game. I call it the 4th and 1. Because if Mike Sherman would have gone for it on 4th and 1, there never would have been a 4th and 26.
But right.
That's a story for another day when we talk about like the worst play calls in Packer history. Just going to Green Bay. I never forget the casino that's right across the street from the airport.
Oneida.
And it just opened. Well, not whatever year that was. That was my first time in Green Bay. And I went out, I think I went out a day early just because I wanted to see a bunch of stuff. And I stayed there. I stayed at that, and the casino part had just opened. Like they didn't even have table games yet. They just had slot machines and video machines and stuff. But I stayed there, and then I went to. I remember spending. I think I flew in Friday evening, and then which is funny. A lot of the guys that covered the Eagles with me, we gotta go to Green Bay, and a lot of them would stay in Milwaukee. It's an easier flight to fly from Philly to Milwaukee. It's like, 8-9 flights a day, whatever, on different airlines that you can get from Philly to Milwaukee. And then drive in, and they would drive in the morning of the game. I was like, no, I'm going to be in Milwaukee. I'm not covering the Bucks. I'm going to be in Green Bay. I'm looking forward to this trip, right? So I fly in Friday. I got a room at the Oneida. That's still open, right?
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Okay. And now they have all kinds. It's a real casino now, right? It has all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, they got a full slot machines, table games, hotel, restaurant, all that stuff.
Yeah. So I'm saying, and the Packers, I'm pretty sure it is. I don't know. Yeah, I'm 100% sure. The Packers actually stayed at that hotel as well on the Saturday night. So I saw a bunch of players and coaches and stuff. I'm trying to remember I don't remember what year it was now. I know Holmgren was coaching. And it was prior to them winning the Super Bowl. So it had to be like late 80s, early 90s, I guess. because I should have looked it up, but because I know like the first few years I covered the Eagles, they never played in Green Bay. They either didn't play them at all or the game was in Philly. But this one was in Green Bay, and so I went there. And then Saturday, like I started to say, Saturday, first thing I did when I got up in the morning was drive over to the Packer Hall of Fame. Which, have any of you guys ever been to Canton?
I have not.
I have not, no.
The Packer Hall of Fame is better than the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Wow.
It really is. There's more things to see. There's more to Canton, as much as I like football better than baseball, Canton is not Cooperstown that has it all over Canton. It really does. I'm telling you, the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame, I've been to a few team Hall of Fames. It's by far the best individual Hall of Fame. I mean, nothing else even ranks close.
And that's the only one I've ever been to, so I don't have a frame of reference. That's interesting to hear you say.
Oh, not even close. Like the Eagles have this little thing. It's like the Cowboys is okay, but nothing like the Packer Hall of Fame. I'm telling you, it's better than Canton. It really is. So I spent all day there Saturday, and then I went to the Packer gift shop and spent way too much money in there. And then I went to, I remember going to, I believe it was Fuzzy Thurston's bar.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Went there, had something to eat, a couple beers, and just talking to the people. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And then I'd been back, I don't know how many times, since maybe three or four. For some reason, when I was covering, I covered 32 years. You would think I would have been in Green Bay more than I have. For some reason, the Eagles didn't go to Green Bay a lot over those 30-some years. They really didn't. Most of the games were in Philly. The 4th and 26th was in Philly, the year the Packers beat them in the playoffs. The Mike Vick year for the Eagles, that was in Philly. The opener that year when Clay Matthews knocked out Kevin Cobb, that was in Philly. And they, most of the memorable games, Eagle-Packer games, were in Philly. When Ryan Longwell missed field goal. It rained for 10 seconds. It rained for like 10 seconds. And the field got wet, and he slipped on the one wet spot on the field. Some crazy stuff. But, it was so – I've been to Green Bay, I guess, three or four. And, again, you would think, you know, I'm a 7-year-old kid or whatever I was watching that game, that if you told me then that, you know, whatever many years later, I'd still be a Packer fan, I'd be like, nah, I probably would have found something. You know, but I did. I just stayed with them, even through all those Scott Hunter, Jerry Taggy, Jim Delgazzo years, Randy Wright. It was rough.
The fact that probably not many of our listeners, and maybe Paul and I, can recognize half the names that you're saying there, Mark, just says it all. Whereas it was like those weren't as memorable years as we've been lucky to have over the past couple
right.
decades.
That's what I tell. Like, I meet Packer fans. Like, Packer fans are everywhere, as you guys know. I mean, you can't go to a city in America and not find a Packer fan. Down here in Myrtle Beach, I'm on the beach, and you see, like, you know, a guy with a Packer towel or a Packer visor or a Packer something. I'm like, hey, go Pack, go. And you wind up talking to him for whatever reason. And, you know, and so there's always Packer fans. And the younger ones, you know, we'll get talking, and I'll say to them, you know, you don't realize. I ask them, like, so how old are you? And I'll say, like, you know, 32 or something. I'm like, oh, okay. So you became a fan, like, Favre was already quarterback, right? Oh, yeah, I love Brett Favre. I'm like, yeah. I said, so you, all you know is Favre and Rodgers, which is pretty nice to know. I said, you know, you didn't know, you know, the bad years. So I did that Bart Starr, but only for a couple years. And then it went, like, there was no time between Favre and Rodgers, obviously. There was a long time between Starr and Favre.
Yeah. Yeah, several decades. A lot of decades worth.
It's a bad coaching, too.
Well, yeah, a lot of coaches, players, a lot of history, goods, ups, downs, even the organization.
There were some fun. I mean, you know, there were some years where they came so close. And that was heartbreaking, too. Like, there was a string where they went, like, 8-8, I don't know how many years in a row. And like they get to that last game, 8-7, and if they win, they're in the playoffs. And of course, they lost, you know. And this was before you got the scores, you know, instantly on the, you know, on your phone, or you can go watch it in the sports bar. I never forget the one year. I think it was Bart Starr's last year. I think it was his last game as head coach, when they're playing the Bears, and if they win, they're in the playoffs. And, of course, I'm watching whatever games on, Eagles or Giants or whatever. But they would show you scores. You know, the scores would pop up. And the Packers take the lead with whatever it go. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to win. They're going to make the playoffs. And then they go, and then, or no, they even went there. They even said, we have, a, you know, and they showed the Packers taking the lead and whatever much time left. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I, it was right near, you know, obviously it was end of the year, so it was near Christmas. I had my, my office Christmas party was that night. And then they go back to Green Bay. And let's go back to Green Bay for this. And you see the Bears kicking a field goal to win the game.
Yep.
And again, the Packers went up by one or two. And I was like, I didn't go. I couldn't even go to Christmas party that night. I skipped my office Christmas party because I was just, I'm like, no, nah, I can't go.
Yeah. Not in the mood.
No.
Not in the mood to party. Well, so I thought what would be kind of cool is to maybe touch on some of those memorable games. But as far as the story goes, I mean, well, it's going to be hard to top your story, Mark, because you've got, you know, first of all, it's the Ice Bowl, which, you know, is an iconic video that we've seen many, many times. And I think the Packers play it at the before every home game and, you know, as they should. It's a very, you know, and if you want.
I actually have a picture. I have a thing hanging up in my house now. It's like a three photos and like, in a frame of Star taking the snap, going behind Kramer, and then getting in the end zone. It's like, you know, which is pretty cool.
Nice. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's really cool. As it should be. And if you go to the Packer Hall of Fame, they have that's on video. They talk more about that game, and you can see more about it. That's interesting that the Pack. I mean, I've always enjoyed it. I've thought the Packers Hall of Fame is great, but when you don't have a frame of reference, you don't really know whether it's one of the best or not or anything like that. I mean, as far as my story, and, you know, Paul's, I don't know if yours is going to be. Mine was it's interesting in the sense that I was born in Illinois. I was born in the suburbs of Chicago, but my family wasn't really big into sports, so I didn't get much into football. In fact, I was more of a baseball kid when I was really young, and I was infatuated with baseball, and I kind of liked the Cubs because I was in the Illinois area. But then my dad got a job with Harley-Davidson, so guess where we moved? So we moved to Milwaukee, and I was probably about 7 years old. And I hadn't even started really my allegiances to any professional teams of any kind. And so football didn't even resonate. And the Bears were pretty good. I mean, they were okay at that time. But again, I guess I can thank my dad for not being a huge Bears fan. Because then I wasn't exposed to watching a lot of their games, and I didn't become emotionally invested in them at all. In fact, it wasn't until I moved we moved up to the Milwaukee area in 83, and the Bears went to the Super Bowl in 85. So I was in the, you know, no man's land. I wasn't even a football fan. But when the Bears went to that Super Bowl, my whole family in Chicago, the Chicago area, were like avid Bears fans. So I kind of was rooting for the Bears in that game. I reluctantly admit that out loud. But what's interesting about that factoid, because that ties into me becoming a fan, is that the very next season, the Packers are hosting the Bears on Monday Night Football. And, of course, naive me at that time, for whatever reason, because, you know, I'm around Packers fans, Packer fever, I keep hearing about Green Bay, and for whatever reason, I don't know why, I have no idea why, I found myself wanting David to beat Goliath. And I just, you know, the Bears were just this cocky machine, and I lived in Wisconsin now, and for whatever reason, I found myself wanting the Packers to win. And they didn't, so I was disappointed. But that's where it all started. It started on that Monday night. It had to have been a Monday night game in 86 when I became a Packers fan. But I didn't really follow the team closely until 89. 89 was, for some reason, the light bulb went off in my head, and I became an avid Brewers fan and Bucks fan and Packers fan. It was like I couldn't get enough of Wisconsin sports. And I was just infatuated. And, of course, I picked a good year to jump on the Packers bandwagon because, as you said, Mark, they sprinkled in some fun seasons along the way. And 89 was one of them with Mikowski. And they, you know, they came back and won a bunch of games. They lost a couple games in heartbreaking fashion, but they almost beat the Rams, some big, you know, really good teams that year. And they missed the playoffs by one game. The Bengals had to beat the Vikings in the last game of the season on Christmas Eve. And the Christmas present was, here, your team went 10-6. They haven't been to the playoffs in over a decade, and you're still not going to the playoffs because
that was. And right after that year was when they expanded the playoffs.
Right, exactly.
Because I think they said, "Oh man, a 10-6 team missed the playoffs.
Missed the playoffs." Well, and now you've got, you know, but we've seen some 7-9 teams get in the playoffs, you know, so we've talked about that before too. But that's where it all started. So the 89 season was exciting for me, but then they go back into the mediocre 90-91. Then Lindy Infante gets fired. Mike Holmgren comes in 92. Nobody saw Brett Favre coming. And then it's Packer fever, but the irony there is that the Packers finally get back to being good. They're going to start making the playoffs, and my family, we have to pack up and move out west to the Phoenix area. And I'm halfway through high school. So I finished Favre's first season as a starter with the Packers in 92 by the fact that Mikowski got injured, but I finished that out here in Phoenix. So the majority of the glory years, I'll call them, for me have all been from, 2,000 miles away here in the Phoenix area. So I've been a fan from afar, and as I've stated many, many times, and we talked before the show about, you didn't switch allegiances. It was very easy not to become an Arizona Cardinals fan. They have been a bad team since day one. They used to play at Sun Devil Stadium, where I went to college. It's a college stadium. If you've been there before, it's okay. It's not great, but it's not. I still can't believe. Mark, did you go to that Super Bowl that was here when the Cowboys and the Steelers? I can't believe that venue hosted a Super Bowl. Every time I'm there, I just look around and I'm just like that. I can't believe they did this huge grand scale event at that stadium. It's not built for that. It's not ideal traffic wise.
I used to like covering the Eagles played the Cardinals every year for a while when the Cardinals were still in the NFC East. And you're right. The stadium was not. It's a, like you said. It's a college stadium. It's not a pro stadium. But I loved where it was. That whole Mill Street, I think it's Mill Avenue.
Oh, there's, yeah, I mean, it's right in the middle of campus. It's good walking distance.
As a writer covering the team, like, I stayed at that, I think it was a Courtyard by Marriott, which is, like, walking distance to the stadium.
Yep.
And as you walked home, there was, like, a dozen bars or more in between the stadium and the hotel, which I would probably stop at almost all of them, which was, the stadium wasn't ideal, but the area that it was in was, I thought, was a great area.
Yeah, it's a good spot. It's in a good spot. But as far as the NFL scene, and then Cardinals fans, the Cardinals sprinkle in like one good team every 8 or 9 years. And ironically, the year that they have a good team is usually when the Packers are playing in Arizona, or they end up facing each other in the playoffs. And of course, it's in Phoenix or it's in Glendale, and stupid things happen. AKA, see the last playoff game the Packers played in Arizona, two Hail Marys, they still couldn't win the game. So. It's been a thing, but my Packers fandom has survived everything else because I have become Paul, no judgment here, but I've become more of a D-backs fan on the baseball front, which has not been kind to me lately, and more of a Suns fan than a Bucks fan. Although I thought, I did think I was going to have to adopt the Bucks this season because I thought that the Lakers were going to come back and run the Suns over, and I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen there. But the Packers, I've never wavered. Never wavered for
That's
one for 1 minute. The Packers have been the absolute. So I do the same thing. Everybody talks about, the summer vacation, going to the beach and all that, stuff. My trip that I look forward to every year, and I don't care if it's in the dead of winter, is going to a game in Green Bay and going to Lambeau. And then the cool thing is I get a chance to see Paul. We get to hang out when I'm in town and catch up with some friends that I've made through doing all these shows and all that kind of stuff. So it's absolutely like the one thing. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about like the game that I'm going to go to that season and the trip and all of the things that come with it. And you talked about Milwaukee versus Green Bay, Mark. I'm a huge fan of Cops. So for me, the first stop that I make after I get the rental car and get checked in to the Milwaukee area is I go to Cops. I got to get me a burger and a shake.
Hey, everyone. I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or...
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
If you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, You can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Now, I covered games. Now, when did they? I guess it had to be in a. I did cover a Green Bay, or I should say an Eagles Packers game in Milwaukee one year.
Now, when they played at County Stadium, that's right.
Yeah, it was the year. As a matter of fact, I'll give you another good story. It was the year. Might have been Favre's first year as a starter, I think. I think it was 92, right? Or 93.
Well, what would have been
92. The Packers beat them. It was an upset. Yeah, it was 92 because Kotite was coaching.
Oh, my gosh. Man, so blast like, from the past. Rich Kotite.
Or it might have been 90. Whatever. It was either 92 or 93. But, No, it was 92. It was Favre and Holmgren's first year, and that started the winning streak. The Packers were like 2-whatever, maybe, I don't know, and they beat the Eagles. They upset the Eagles, who were, you know, pretty good that year. I think they went to the. I'm sure they went. Yeah, they went to the playoffs and lost to the Cowboys. But the Eagles, Herschel Walker had a key fumble. The Packers were down. They came back. They tied it. Walker fumbled, the Packers recovered, ran the clock down, and I believe the kicker at the time was Chris Jackie, kicked the game-winning field goal. But I remember when you've heard my Reggie White story. Well, one of the things that Reggie, that game was when Reggie really fell in love with Favre and said, wow, because that in that game, Clyde Simmons hit Favre and separated his left shoulder.
And he still played.
And he played the rest of the game with a separated left shoulder and played pretty well.
Yeah.
Didn't miss a game, didn't miss next week's game either, obviously. And Reggie, that's when Reggie said, wow, this quarterback is something. And that was part of the reason why he wanted to go to Green Bay, because, I mean, him telling me, you know, they have a really good young quarterback and I really like their coaching staff. So that game went a long way in making the Packers Super Bowl champions because they got Reggie.
Yeah, that's crazy. I never went to a game in Milwaukee. I was going to actually ask Paul. Paul, did you ever get to one when they played at County?
No, I did not.
That was pre Paul.
No, not quite. But I was young.
Youngster.
That was not a good. That was not a good football stadium. I'll say that.
Well, both teams were on the same side of the sideline.
Yes. That was just weird.
It was strange.
But yeah. most of those dual-purpose, they were more most of them were much better for baseball than they were for football.
Well, think about what the Raiders played in for the longest time. Yep. You could see the dirt.
Yep.
Now they've obviously, midfield, you know. Yeah. But, you know,
the Chargers, same way Jack Murphy was more baseball than football.
Right. San Francisco, I think, too, right?
The Candlestick
Park.
Yeah.
With the Niners, right?
Yeah, I mean, so back in the day, there was a lot of. I mean, it made sense because, you know, to save money, I guess. I don't know. But now nobody does. There's not one dual-purpose stadium anymore.
Right.
the Raiders were to last.
Yeah, they're all for one purpose. So we had it at some point, Mark, you and I had to kind of survive. I can't claim I had to survive a lot. I mean, I didn't have to wait that long for the Packers to get good, and they've been good for much more of my lifetime than not. But Paul, I'm really intrigued with your story, obviously, because you grew up in the locale, but that doesn't always necessarily mean that there isn't some fun facts that go along with how you got to be to where you are. So take us through the story of Paul Bredel as a Packers fan.
Well, as Mark pointed out, there's those Packers fans that have been spoiled their entire life by two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and I fall into that category. I was born in 91. As we all know, Favre was acquired in 92. So Favre and Rodgers are the two quarterbacks that I know. And I try to be very conscious of how fortunate I've been from a football fan perspective. Not that I can ever put myself in Mark's shoes and go through the 70s and 80s, but I try to be mindful of it. But for those of you who don't know, I am born and raised here in Green Bay, just on the north side, north suburb of it, about 12 minutes from the stadium is where I grew up. And other than going to Iowa for 4 years of college to play some golf, living in Des Moines for 3 years after that while my now wife finished up school, we now live back here in Suamico on the north side, again, 12 minutes from the stadium. So born and raised here for the most part, and it's cliche to say, but it's a way of life here. It is. On Packer Sundays, if you were to venture out during a game, it's a ghost town outside of course, Lambeau Field and those few blocks. But it's just what everyone does here. It's the way of life. It's on Sundays, it's the Packers are on, and that's what we put on. That's what you do from the time you're born until, you know, as long as you watch football, it's what you do. So from that perspective, it was really easy to become a fan. I remember I went to my first Monday night game when I think I was in like fifth grade. I've gone to training camp practices every summer. That's been an activity my family does, and now, you know, since then, it's something that I do every summer. I always take some days off of work to go. It's just the accessibility, and it's impossible not to fall in love with it when you just grow up around it. But as Mark said, when you're young, you're very impressionable. So growing up in Green Bay and in the state of Wisconsin as well, it's very easy to become a Packer fan. The history and obviously in my time, the success that they've had as well. But I think what drew me to loving the Green Bay Packers were the experiences I had when I was young. My grandparents lived two blocks from the stadium. My grandfather since passed, but my grandma still lives there. She still parks cars every home game. And when I was 7 years old, all the way till 12, 13, and so on, and I still go over on some Sundays to help. That's what I did on Sundays. I would go, and my mom would drop me off early in the morning before the traffic picked up, and I'd spend Sundays with my grandparents while they park cars. So they're parking cars, the tailgaters are coming in, and you know, you're 5, 6, 7 years old, they're having beers, they're having a good time. You don't realize what's going on, but you're bouncing around, talking with them, playing catch. It was always something I looked forward to, and then I'd watch the game there because the traffic is so bad at that part of the stadium, it's not going to get picked up. And so we would watch the games in the house, and when the Packers would score, I would run out the patio door in the backyard, because you can see Lambeau from their backyard, and you would hear the crowd roar. You would hear the music going. And so, like anything, like any kid, it's those experiences that you hold on to, and I think that's where my love and just, I guess, addiction to it started. Because when you're young, you're impressionable, like Mark said, and it's those memories that you have with the ones that you love that you remember the most. And so I think that's really, really where the passion of it, I absolutely love this team, began.
Yeah, and
so you're a little spoiled too, Paul, not just from Favre Rodgers, but living there, like you said. And like, I try to explain to friends of mine that, you know, I've been to Philly games, Eagles games in Philly, you know, hundreds of times. They've been to the Meadowlands to see Giants and or Jets games a bunch of times. Like you said, you could hear from your grandparents' backyard, you could hear and see that's not like that in big cities.
No, and it's
no houses around Lincoln Financial Field. It's all just, it is where it is. And it's
Green
Bay, live right there, you know.
Yeah, my grandma still lives two blocks away. If you're familiar with the area, Oneida Street, there's that BP, the B-dub. She's kind of just in between them across the street. But no, it's like you said, I mean, if you haven't visited
people
here...
You walk to games. People live like where they walk to the game, right?
Mm-hmm, yep, absolutely. It's like a college town, too. Yeah, I mean, all the bars around on...
You can't walk to the game. On
Sundays, you know, as long as you're being responsible, obviously, if you're outside walking around with a beer from house to house, place to place, they don't care, as long as you're being smart, obviously.
Right.
But it's like you said, it's... I mean, Green Bay is only 100,000. There's... I love it here, absolutely love it, but... There's not a lot to do. I mean, we were actually out this past weekend. We had some friends in town, and so we were actually down in the Lambeau area. And there was someone from out of town who came up to us and asked, "What do you do here?" And I kind of paused and thought, this
we
is
watch
it.
The Packers.
Yeah, because it's only 100,000. I mean, that's not very big. And, I mean, if you combine the suburbs, maybe it's 200,000. But it's everything here. And like I said, just being – from here, I feel like it's impossible not to root for them. But like I said, those experiences that I had on Sundays, just hanging out around the stadium with my grandparents, and like I said, you meet new people, just playing catch with strangers in their driveway, the music, the crowd roaring, being able to hear that's the stuff that sticks with you. And I think where the love and the passion for it really developed.
Well, and when you walk by the parking lot too, there's different parties, different types of music, you know, different vibes. Everybody's got their outfits, the fans with the yellow and green striped overalls. Like, there's certain novelties that you kind of expect and want to see when you go to Green Bay. And then part of the fun for me, at least recently, has been kind of walking through those neighborhoods that are nearby, just because it's just, you're so envious of on game day of that vibe, and it's like, that's in your backyard. That's so crazy. Mm-hmm. It's the coolest thing. It's the coolest thing, and it's on here. And it is true. For people who aren't sure if it's actually true, you could literally not spend a dollar on food and walk through the parking lot, and you'll end up getting food from various people's tailgates.
Oh.
I mean, everybody's so friendly.
I did that.
Yes, exactly. Yes, you should.
And you know, I'm telling them, yeah, I'm here to cover the game, or they saw my graduate room, and I'm like, oh, you're... And they took me in. Oh, you're from Philly? You know, I'm like, yeah, but I'm a Packer. Oh, yeah, well, here, have a brat. You know, here, have a beer. I'm like, I can't have any beer, but I'll have a brat, you know.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable. But, again, I got to compare everything to Philly. If a Packer, you know, maybe not a Packer fan as much, but Philly fans aren't quite as warm, quite as inviting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no. Now, a Packer fan, they might just tell you to get the hell out of here, you know. A Cowboy fan, they'll beat up. You know, I mean, they did set the Redskin on fire once. I mean, that did happen. That's not a myth. That they really did set the guy that wore the long Redskin feathers and long whatever headdress. Yeah, they set him on fire. Brotherly love. But yeah, I mean, like, yeah, the Green Bay fans, like, they're the best. I mean, now some of them get a little carried away, like all fans do when it comes mm-hmm. to the team. But you know, they get sometimes get a little, like I said, a little carried away. But no. But as far as treating out of towners, there's no place better. And I've been to every city. So I mean, I'm not just saying this because I'm a fan. I mean, Seattle's pretty nice too. I hate to say it, but their fans aren't bad either. But Green Bay is the best.
Well, Seattle fans aren't that bad because they don't know anything about football. They've only been fans of the Seahawks for the past 8 years, so they don't have anything else to reference. That's kind of tongue-in-cheek humor there.
Let me ask this, Paul. Do you have any friends growing up or and whatever, even now as a do you have any non-Packer, I mean, that just for whatever reason are fans of the Broncos or the Charger or whoever?
Ah, gosh. Off the top of my head, I can't think. So, I mean, I'm sure there were, just odds were, but growing up, I can't think. And the friends I hang around with today are obviously all Packer fans.
Okay,
no, I can't. I'm sure there were, just because, like, you know, odds are someone's going to want to be defiant or right. whatever the reasoning is. But
or just maybe have a favorite player on another mm-hmm. team. I don't know. That does happen. I mean, yeah, I'm just going to. But, again, yeah, that's interesting. So even mm-hmm. there might be the odd one, but there's not many.
No,
90-something percent are all Packer fans.
No, everybody wore their pack. Like, if it was a Monday night game at school, everyone was in their Packer gear that day getting ready. I mean, I don't know. It's just what it's the way of life.
So I guess you could say, Paul, they wore uniforms where you went to school.
Yeah.
It was mandatory on game day. It was a Green Bay Packers jersey or at least a shirt of some kind. So these are awesome stories. So maybe to wrap it up, because we're coming up on it. So just to go through, I guess we might have talked about this maybe lightly, but to kind of actually spell it out, I'll put you each on the spot and I'll ask you. So then, Mark, you've got a lot of memories and a lot of moments. What was your absolute number one moment as a Green Bay Packers fan?
Oh, when the Super Bowl 31. I mean, because I could say the Ice Bowl, but I was too young to really appreciate, and even Super Bowl 1 and 2, I was really, hey, the Packers won, that's great, hey, good, that's my team. But I'm a little kid, I don't appreciate, after all those years of, the bad years, and then the good years, but coming so close and losing to the Cowboys, or,
Seemed like every year in Dallas.
Right. Yep. Because they Dallas had the better record. They had to go on the road. And then, winning the Super Bowl, I'm going to say that was one, but close behind was getting to the Super Bowl when they beat Carolina.
They had to kind of come back in that game.
A little bit. I mean, it was early, but yeah. That's right there with it, because when they got, you kind of, I wasn't taking it for granted. Believe me, I wasn't looking past the Patriots, but to get to the Super Bowl was such a big thing for me as a fan. Wow, I'm going to watch my, because I'd watched every Super Bowl, but now my team's going to be in the Super Bowl. Wow. And I didn't, it's funny, I had covered all the Super Bowls from 20, all the 20s, from 20 to 29. And then for whatever reason, we start using other people, we got hooked up with other, when NJ.com kind of came in, it got a little different. So I didn't cover 30. And I'm looking back, I'm really glad. I don't think I would have been able to cover Super Bowl 30. I mean, as much as I said before about being a professional, I don't know. That would have been really hard.
Right. No, for sure. Yeah. Because
the whole week would have been fun. The whole covering the week, which is more work than the game itself. That would have been fun. I'd have been writing Packer stories every day, Which I got to say this, too. I'm really, thanking Andy for putting me both on this and then hooking me up to write for Packer Report. It's kind of fun. After covering a team that I didn't really care about either way, the Eagles, Toronto's, and that's the way you're supposed to be. If they won, they won. They lost. I didn't care. Just give me a good story. It's fun now writing about a team that I actually do care about. And again, I'm not on the beat. I'm not a beat writer when I'm there every day interviewing the players. I'm writing stories that I feel are important or whatever. But it is kind of neat, and I thank Andy a lot for giving me the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, well, all of us. I mean, all of us, and to put us three together. I mean, it's three different time zones. So you guys and girls that are listening to the show right now don't know what three of us go through sometimes to come up with the time to record. but it's fun. I mean, I love our group and the diversity of it. I mean, Mark, not to sound like a broken record, but honestly, it was the same moment for me too, because that was my first Super Bowl. It was actually my first championship of any kind that any team that I followed won. So I hadn't seen, because I was a Brewers fan for a long time. We all know that we're still waiting for the Brewers to recapture the magic of 1982, even though they didn't win that World Series. And the Bucks, same thing. Maybe this year the Bucks finally get over the hump. But that was the first championship of any kind. I would say Super Bowl 31 in total, just because the way that they won was a perfect culmination of the season. It was far deep. You had the Desmond Howard kickoff return, so it was almost like the whole season rolled up into all the things that got in there happened.
And Reggie with the three sacks.
Reggie with the sacks, like all the things you want to see that everybody got a chance to see. But I would say that run to, and I'd include Super Bowl 45, but the run through, because they were a six seed and the way they got in and just the way they won all three games, especially that game in Atlanta, was just so magical and fun to watch. Was probably a very, very close second for me. But Paul, what do you guys, as somebody who's been more recently watching, what's your number one moment as a Packers fan? Or maybe it's not even game related; it might be experience related.
I'll give two answers. The obvious is Super Bowl 45. So when the Packers, the Super Bowls you're referring to, beat New England, I have very little recollection of that. I think I was five at the time, four or five. I have some very vague memories of the following year when they lost to Denver, but not enough to...
Yeah, you don't need to remember that.
be upset about it. So winning that Super Bowl, because that was really the first one that I saw. And also, I was a freshman in college that year, and while I went to University of Northern Iowa my final 3 years, I actually played golf at UW-Green Bay my freshman year, so I was in Green Bay for that. Hands down, the most fun night I've ever had, on top of them winning. Just a lot of good times with friends, we'll leave it at that. So that was obviously a highlight, but two other ones. Going back a few years to the heartbreaking loss to the Giants in 2007, the week before when they knocked off the Seahawks, I was elated. I remember running around the house. I thought they were going to the Super Bowl. NFC Championship at home against the Giants, I thought that they were going to go to the Super Bowl. So that was a memory that sticks out. And then earlier than that, I was 11 at the time, I believe, when Brett Favre had that game in Oakland after his dad had passed away. So I remember staying up with my parents and watching that, and just the performance that he put on, and his receivers balled out that night. But that's one of those games where I was younger, but that one really sticks out to me as well.
Yeah, that was a memorable one. I remember that. I actually I had just come back from, I was living in California at the time, but I came back for Christmas, winter break. I was off work for a couple of weeks, and I just gotten back into town that day. In fact, I left really early, so I got back in plenty of time to watch the game with my dad and my brother, and I remember just being so nervous for Brett Favre, and it wasn't because I cared whether they won or lost. I was just so nervous for him, and I was just so grateful. I remember driving on the I-10. It's one of the most boring drives from Palm Springs from Orange County to through Palm Springs and into Phoenix, and I just remember thinking, how lucky are we that this guy is going to play a day after, like, not just losing his dad, but losing his dad suddenly out of nowhere. And that was Favre. That was absolutely Favre. That's an awesome pick for absolute sure. These were kind of fun stories. I feel like we've been working together for a long time, but you learn something new every single week. I'm sure there's going to be some more nuggets to come along. But before we jump off here, Mark, since you're now doing your passion project is kind of writing about the Packers, what's going on over at Packer Report this next week?
Well, I have a story up now on the tight ends, just how a crowded tight end room, and I'm trying to sort out. They may actually keep five tight ends, which would be that's over 9% of the roster would be tight ends. So I kind of break the tight ends down. The coming week, let's see what happens. The mini camp's coming up. The mandatory mini camp is next week, right? Mm-hmm. So that's going to be interesting to see who's actually there and who's not there.
Who's not there?
So we'll see what happens. I'll wait. I think next week will be a little newsy.
It could be. Yeah, next week could have a little bit of Paul. Ready? One, two, three. Buzz. Could have a little bit of buzz. So Paul over at
Mark's favorite word.
Buzz. There might be actual news.
Actual news, not just buzz. Real stuff. So over at Dairyland Express, Cheesehead TV, and upcoming with Packers Unrestricted, Paul, what we got to look forward to?
A couple articles that I had out recently was looking at the Packers rookie class and how the team put an emphasis on special teams. We know how much of an issue that's been. And then at Cheesehead TV on Friday, I took a look at how are the Packers going to split up snaps between Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary. I know when Mark brought up Preston Smith last week, we touched on that a little bit, and I think that's just something – it's going to be something interesting to watch. Maybe a little bit as training camp unfolds when that takes place. Depending, probably not much we can glean from that, but certainly once the season begins.
Yeah, awesome. And I'll have Quick Slants podcast out on Wednesday as usual, so hopefully the news hits earlier than not next week. Otherwise, with my luck, I'll do a show, and then 2 hours after it comes out, something will happen or something will go down. So this was a fun one, guys. Thanks for the awesome conversation. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your weekend. We are now into June. Hard to believe 2021 is almost half over, but that does mean that training camp opens next month because it's now June. So that's fantastic news for those of us that are very excited and champing at the bit for some Packers football. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Be safe. And go Pack, go.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.